ears and within-looking men, he barked. I want this studied. Something was taking shape inside the fireball. Golder shielded his eyes and peered at the shape forming in front of him. There was no mistaking it. It was the universe. He was quite sure of this because he had a model of it in his study, and it was generally agreed to be far more impressive than the real thing. Faced with the possibilities offered by seed pearls and silver filigree, the creator had been at a complete loss. But the tiny universe inside the fireball was uncannily, well, real. The only thing missing was colour. It was all in translucent misty white. There was Great Artuin, and the four elephants, and the disk itself. From this angle, Golder couldn't see the surface very well, but he knew with cold certainty that it would be absolutely accurately modelled. He could, though, just make out a miniature replica of Cori Celesti, upon whose utter peak the world's quarrelsome and somewhat bourgeois gods lived, in a palace of marble, alabaster, and uncut moquette three-piece suites they had chosen to call Dunmanifestin'. It was always a considerable annoyance to any disc citizen with pretensions to culture that they were ruled by gods whose idea of an uplifting artistic experience was a musical doorbell. The little embryo universe began to move slowly, tilting. Golder tried to shout, but his voice refused to come out. Gently, but with the unstoppable force of an explosion, the shape expanded. He watched in horror, and then in astonishment, as it passed through him as lightly as a thought. He held out a hand, and watched the pale ghosts of rock strata stream through his fingers in busy silence. Great Artuin had already sunk peacefully below floor level, larger than a house. The wizards behind Golder were waist-deep in seas. A boat smaller than a thimble caught Golder's eye for a moment before the rush carried it through the walls and away. "To the roof!" he managed, pointing a shaking finger skywards. Those wizards with enough marbles left to think with and enough breath to run followed him, running through continents that sleeted smoothly through the solid stone. It was a still night, tinted with the promise of dawn. A crescent moon was just setting. Ankh-Morpork, largest city in the lands around the Circle Sea, slept. That statement is not really true. On the one hand, those parts of the city which normally concern themselves with, for example, selling vegetables, shoeing horses, carving exquisite small jade ornaments, changing money and making tables, on the whole, slept, unless they had insomnia, or had got up in the night, as it might be, to go to the lavatory. On the other hand, many of the less law-abiding citizens were wide awake, and, for instance, climbing through windows that didn't belong to them, slitting throats, mugging one another, listening to loud music in smoky cellars, and generally having a lot more fun. But most of the animals were asleep, except for the rats. And the bats, too, of course. And as far as the insects were concerned. The point is that descriptive writing is very rarely entirely accurate, and during the reign of Olaf Quimby II, as patrician of Ankh, some legislation was passed in a determined attempt to put a stop to this sort of thing and introduce some honesty into reporting. Thus, if a legend said of a notable hero that all men spoke of his prowess, any bard who valued his life would add hastily, except for a couple of people in his home village who thought he was a liar, and quite a lot of other people who had never really heard of him. Poetic simile was strictly limited to statements like, his mighty steed was as fleet as the wind on a fairly calm day, say about Force 3. And any loose talk about a beloved having a face that launched 1,000 ships would have to be backed by evidence that the object of desire did indeed look like a bottle of champagne. Quimby was eventually killed by a disgruntled poet during an experiment conducted in the palace grounds to prove the disputed accuracy of the proverb, "The pen is mightier than the sword," and in his memory it was amended to include the phrase, "Only if the sword is very small and the pen is very sharp." So, approximately 67, maybe 68% of the city slept. Not that the other citizens, creeping about on their generally unlawful occasions, noticed the pale tide streaming through the streets. Only the wizards, used to seeing the invisible, watched it foam across the distant fields. The disk, being flat, has no real horizon. Any adventurous sailors who got funny ideas from staring at eggs and oranges for too long and set out for the